stand-up comedian talking about the issues that are important to you. This is Stand Up with Pete Domenic on Indy, Sirius XM 104.
It's Friday, September 27, 2013. My name is Pete Domenic, and we have a very special program for you today. 3 hours of health policy with two of the best wonks, nerds, experts on the issue in the world. One is a health economist from Boston University. The other is a health policy expert and doctor from Indiana University. Austin Frack, Aaron Carroll. Ain't no party better than a three-hour health policy party. Actually, there is. There probably is. No. Oh, all right. Well, I'm Pete Domenic. Stand up with me right now. Hey, it's Friday, and we've got a packed house here. We've all been up for hours. Thank you so much for tuning in to Stand Up. Today, it's the three-hour health policy party, and we're joined in studio by our regular weekly guest and best friend for life, Dr. Aaron Carroll, who is, of course, at Aaron E. Carroll on Twitter. And join us for the first time, and hopefully not the last time, we will see, depends how you treat him, from Boston University, healthcare economist Austin Fracht on Twitter, and we've got to rack him up. We've got to rack up a lot of new Twitter followers because we always promote
A Fracht on Twitter.
It's A Fracht, A F R A K T, which is very easy.
Yeah,
very easy. Yeah. Why did you choose that? Why did you not go with the full name? You thought that would be the easiest thing in the world.
You know what's funny? I made that account long ago and forgot about it. Then I saw that someone was saying, "You make sure you make a Twitter account because someone will rip your name off."
Yeah.
So I went on to Twitter. This is like 3 years later. Went on to Twitter and I found A Fracht. Like, oh my God, someone ripped me off. It was my account.
Oh, so I just kept ripped
you. I don't even remember when.
You thought you were so important that someone ripped you off. Ended up ripping yourself off.
Yeah. I am so important that someone ripped me off.
No.
But A Fracht's
nice. Someone's got Aaron Carroll.
But that was me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, how many Aaron? There can't possibly be another one.
Can you tell us why you two guys are in town? Because we didn't fly in. I mean, I got you bagels.
You know, are we okay talking about it? I didn't even think about it.
I have no idea. Well,
I said it earlier this week by accident.
Awesome.
Well, just don't name him. Just don't name him.
Yeah, we've been asked to come in to sort of brief a news organization on what's going on with the Affordable Care Act so that their news staff can cover the appropriate stories. So they want to know exactly what's going on.
Does it rhyme with Mox News?
I don't believe so.
No, all right.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? Come on.
Here's the deal.
You would
do
it.
Somebody's got to do it because they're not listening. The entire program today, we are taking your calls, your questions, and hopefully your criticisms and arguments because that in many ways will help, I think, debunk a lot of the misinformation and myths about this massive new law that is about to go into mostly full effect. Next week, October 1st. So we want to hear from you, the entire program. And frankly, I don't want to do a lot of work. I'm very tired. I've had a total of 8 hours in the last 3 days of sleep. So I'm going to be misspeaking a lot. I'm not going to be. So I need a lot of you to call in the entire 3 hours to ask questions to Austin Fracht and Aaron Carroll, the entire program. So 866-994-6343 is the phone number. You are welcome to light them up right now, and I should, of course, say hello and welcome my producers, which I've been neglecting because I'm trying to impress the health care nerds. Ladies and gentlemen, with a new haircut, it is Alfred Schultz. Looking
new
good,
haircut
buddy.
A week and a half ago,
looks
but yes.
Great. Looks super fantastic.
New. Yeah.
And Melanie different? Starling.
I did just the toupee.
Good morning.
Who is terrible at ping pong. We played this morning. There's a ping pong table
Pete
in the lobby
is
here.
Worse.
And
Pete.
I'm...
is worse.
Untrue.
Well, I would love to play you then.
And last but certainly not least, it's at Moving Sideways, one of the funniest, friendliest, warmest gentlemen I know, and the first man I've ever been with sexually. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hosselt, everybody.
Kind and gentle lover, Pete.
Was that before or after the vasectomy?
Well,
before.
Don't be silly.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. You should try him out after to see if there's been much of a change.
Now Chris won't get pregnant.
Well, there's a lot of questions. All right. Well, and of course... there's a big question that I have, and I think I want to tease it out. We'll see what happens. But my dad, as you know, forwarded me a question from his right-wing accountant
about Obamacare. So I'm really excited to get
First
to that
all,
as
at
well.
At what age do we start? We were talking about this yesterday. What age do dads start sending out those kinds of emails? Like, feel compelled to start sending you emails about, like, crazy things that their friends have said, which obviously coming from them, but they blame on their crazy friends.
Well, this one was definitely from my dad's account. My dad couldn't have come up with that because he doesn't have employees and a business, which is what this is in reference to.
No, but he could have heard it on, you know, the news.
No, because here's the thing. I know that he didn't come up with that because he would never write such a long email that was clearly a forwarded email that his friend had written.
Okay.
He could never write that kind of a thing. So I'm positive it didn't come from him just based on that. But a lot of people do get their information, Austin, from a forwarded friend. A forwarded email from an aunt or an uncle. Why do we always blame aunts and uncles? Asking for a friend, and it's usually in a red, white, and blue font, and it says Obamacare is going to
Lots
end the
caps.
World.
Lots of caps.
So we've got some criticism that we can play for you, some audio. We've got some questions and some emails, and we've all got our computers and tablets open as well. So tweet AFRACT, at AFRAKT, and at Aaron E. Carroll, two R's and two L's in Carroll, at Aaron E. Carroll, and you can make comments, insults, criticisms, compliments on Twitter as well. So let's get started with our 3-hour health policy conversation. And just because Joe called in right away, I'm going to Joe in New York in just a moment when I fire up my computer. Hold on, cranking it. Joe, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Joe. Welcome to the conversation. Thank you for calling. You are first. You are a leadoff hitter. What do you got?
You're welcome, and I love you.
I adore you.
My question is, when, if a person like myself, when we switch jobs, usually we end the benefits from one job, and then when we take the new job, typically there's a 90-day waiting period before we can, get the buy-in to the benefit package from the new job. And I'm not 100% sure how it goes, but I know there's supposed to be a fine or a fee that you have to pay if you don't have benefits. So let's say in 2014 I switch jobs and there's a period where I don't have benefits. Am I still subject to whatever that fee or fine might be? And is it a fine? I don't even know that it's a fine.
So are you talking about the individual mandate? Is that the fine or penalty you're worried about?
Yeah, because there will be a period of time when I won't have medical benefits.
Okay, yeah, that won't. First of all, you would not be penalized for that. So if there's a small time that you were uninsured between that wouldn't happen. But the beauty of what's to come is that theoretically there should no longer be that waiting period. So the second you lost your insurance or the second you lost your job, you wouldn't even technically be qualified, I think, or prevented from any kind of open enrollment period. Before you went to the exchange to go get insurance. So you could go to the insurance you can go to the exchange the next day and get insurance. It's going to be so much cheaper than Cobra. And so you would actually be able to keep on not your same insurance, but you would actually be able to maintain coverage without losing it in the exchange until you got a new job. If you get the new job, you'll get new insurance right away there. So these gaps and like all of these rules about how long you had to wait, most of that's going to go away anyway. So you would probably not even get close to even becoming potentially subject to the penalty. Even if you were uninsured for a period of time, you would not be penalized.
Oh, very good. It's still a little bit confusing, but
yeah, I know. The thing is, it sounds confused. Yeah, it is. The truth of the matter is that for the vast majority of people, nothing's going to happen next month. If you have insurance from your job already, you're just going to keep it. If you have Medicare, nothing will change.
Well, how about this, though? Here's the thing that I'm hearing a lot lately, which is that, you know, Home Depot, Austin, is throwing people off their part-timers off their health care. And the only thing I've been thinking is, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but the only thing I've been thinking is, if some of these big companies are saying, hey, these part-timers, we're no longer providing you with health care, in a way, I was thinking, well, that's because they can get maybe a better policy now on the individual on the exchanges, and so why would anybody even be upset about that? So if you only take one half of that news story, they're throwing them off. No, they're saying, hey, you know what? It's a win-win.
That's exactly right. I mean, these employees, first of all, where they are now, they're probably getting pretty skimpy coverage, and it's costing a lot, and they're not getting a lot of benefit from the through an employer that the health care you get is not taxed. But if you're low income and have a part-time job, you're not getting much benefit from that. So they say, okay, we don't offer you coverage at work, but you go to the exchange, you get a subsidy. It's a better deal for you. Plus, they're able to increase their salary a little. This is what Trader Joe's is doing. Increase their salary a little bit because the company's no longer paying for health benefits. And it's a win-win. Everybody's better
really?
Off.
Really? So, yes. I mean, that's always the big thing for me when I've thought about, like, the Canadian system or anything else. Here at SiriusXM, I got to pay for my very unhealthy producer's care, right? I mean, he's always at the doctor.
That is such... And I don't. That is BS.
I don't want to have to do that. I'd rather pay in my taxes for healthcare than in my salary here at SiriusXM. Not to say that in this situation at this company, if we did that, they would increase my salary and make up the difference. But Trader Joe's is actually doing that.
Yeah, I think it's $500. They're giving their part time employees an extra $500. Plus, they go to the exchange, they get the subsidies there, and they get better coverage and choice. Whereas if they stay with their job,
they get a discount on $2 Chuck at the wine at Trader Joe's. Although, do we even have a Trader Joe's?
Is that a benefit? I think that's actually not.
I just think cheap wine is as good as expensive wine. I don't know the difference. I would never know the difference.
See, I disagree with you. I think the
How
cheap
would you
wine,
even know?
I've tried all types of wine.
There's
and if
studies
you did
on this.
A blind taste.
No. I think there's a difference between cheap wine and slightly better wine. And then I think the gradation goes away. But but the crap stuff is different than everything else.
There is a recent study about a wine that costs like $100 and wine that costs like $20, and a lot of people.
$20 is not crap wine. Like $2
not,
Chuck is crap.
The crap
wine.
Stuff is what they mop off the floor and then they wring it out into the bottle. Right?
They do. They wring it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's like the hot dog of wine.
I'm not arguing there's a difference between 20 and 100. I'm arguing there's a difference.
Hot dogs are just lips and assholes.
Joe, is that? That is technically true.
Right off.
No, that's actually true. That's why I don't eat them anymore. Joe, are you satisfied with your answer in our 3-hour health policy conversation?
Yes, I am. It did lead me to another question, though, which is I have to go to the exchange in order to get benefits to cover my time in between jobs, correct?
In between jobs, you probably would want to go to the exchange to sign up for plans so that you weren't uncovered at any such point. But yes, that's the case. But if you went immediately into another job, it's likely you'd get your benefits there.
Okay, that's the part that's the good part is I don't have a 90-day waiting period under the new health care law.
Yeah, no, I mean, under the new health care law, there's no mandated waiting period for jobs or anything else. And I think most large companies these days will start to write off.
Very good.
Joe, thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate it. And let me just say this. I meant to lead off with this, but I've always said on this program that I'm just a guy with questions. I'm not an expert on anything, nothing. Even the things that I do a lot, I'm not an expert on. I'm not an expert on me, on my family. As Aaron can tell you, I'm average to below average intelligence. However, my emotional quotient is huge. And so I just always thought that it was common sense to ask people who are experts. A lot of what we hear about healthcare, a lot of the ideas that we get about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, we get from pundits, from people like me who host radio shows and host television shows, from politicians who have something to gain or obviously something to lose. So I thought if you want to know about healthcare, health policy, these are really the two best type of people to ask. And I didn't even mention the blog that Austin created and was so kind and generous to bring Aaron Carroll on, the Incidental Economist. Austin, what is it that you do for a living?
I'm a health economist.
What does that mean?
I study our health system from an economics point of view. So I want to understand what people's incentive have for the choices they make, what health plans do, why they do it, where they go. I've studied a lot. Most of my research has been in Medicare. Medicare has private plans. So where do they offer plans? What benefits do they offer? But a lot of the concepts extend, you know, system-wide.
Let me ask you the question that a lot of people that hate government, that don't like government getting involved with anything, say about Medicare, that it's overrun, it's underfunded, or it's, you know, way in debt. It's really inefficient. And Medicare, people like it because it's a government program that they don't feel like they're paying for necessarily. But it's really, really not working, Medicare.
So Medicare has problems. That's true. But they are not problems that are qualitatively different from the rest of the system. And all the things that people complain about at Medicare, you can turn around and say that similar or the same things are happening in the private healthcare system and commercial market plans. So and Medicare is you know, no different. And in many ways, they've been innovative in some of the payment policy things they've done. And private plans have copied them. So, you know, if they're so terrible, why are private plans copying them? Other countries have copied them.
And in case somebody's new to this conversation, which sometimes on this channel people are new to this conversation, Medicare is an insurance company. That's what it is. It just is an insurance company. It's like Aetna or United Healthcare or anything else, except it's run by the government.
Well, and one of the big exceptions is they don't have to do a lot of marketing. They don't have a lot of administration overhead. They don't collect profit.
They're not concerned about their shareholders or advertising.
They don't individually rate anyone. They have no underwriting.
The biggest problem with Medicare is
I don't know what those two things meant.
The biggest problem with Medicare is it is subject to politics. So, you know, Congress is routinely kind of messing it up. And this is one of the things that the health reform law is trying to address through the IPAB, the Independent Payment Advisory Board. And
death panels.
Well, right. Yeah. So the idea behind that is let's get a group of experts who are a little bit shielded from the politics that have messed Medicare up so much to think more carefully about how it should be reformed and redesigned, and with a lot of constraints. You know, they're not allowed to take away benefits. They're not allowed to ration care and that kind of thing. But just, you know, how can we better pay for the benefits that it's offered?
But to be clear, you guys are in town to be briefing, to teaching a major news agency on how this system is working so they can inform their viewers and readers, et cetera. You are the guys. You two are the guys, the types of experts that journalists will call up and ask questions to.
Well, correct. Smart journalists.
Every day.
Smart journalists.
Right.
So that's why I skip the middleman and bring you right on to answer the caller's questions, because I am the man of the people, Jim in Michigan.
Isn't this journalism now?
Yeah, Pete.
No, please don't insult journalists. Hi, Jim. You're on Stand Up with Austin Fracht and Aaron Carroll, two of the smartest healthcare people in the country.
Agreed. Agreed. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Question is,
outside of Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Part-time employees, if they're covered under a parent's health care, will the employer be penalized if they work more than the required hours?
Now, that question confused me.
No.
Okay, so you guys
there will be no penalty for that. If you're on your look, they just care that you got insurance. No one cares where you get it from as long as it qualifies. And so if you're on your – it would be the same thing as if you were married and you got your insurance from your spouse. Nobody would penalize an employer because they weren't providing extra insurance. As long as everybody's getting insurance, it's all good.
Right. As long as what is it, 30 hours or more than 30 hours, they require the employer to give them health care.
If they're over 30 hours, then they qualify. Adding up to how many full time employees the employer has. But whether they're full time or part time, the employer will not be penalized if that employee is getting their health insurance either from a spouse or from a parent. It's all good.
Excellent.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. The phone number to ask questions to the smartest health policy experts in the country is 866-994-6343. I don't know why I paused there. I don't know why I get confused.
I thought you were burping.
No, I'm just tired. I'm so tired.
Why?
Because I was on a plane last night, and I only slept for a few hours, and the night before I only slept for a few hours.
You got to kick that crack, man. Wah. It's not good for you.
Oh, am I complaining already? Danette in Georgia, you're on the air. Hi, Danette.
Hey. I'm tired, too.
Okay.
So
I was actually just thinking this morning, because I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the day Pete's going to have experts on. And then I thought, oh, God, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. How does he do this every day?
Thank you.
Get up earlier.
It's very hard. You know, I gotta come in to the city some days, maybe 2 days.
Sometimes the limo was late to pick them up.
In snow, traffic.
Often, I go right out to my garage studio and have to sit down in front of this mic. And when you're 1 week past a vasectomy, ladies and gentlemen, that is not the easiest job.
Oh, this is a new recent procedure.
Yeah, last Wednesday.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Anyway, Danette, your question.
My question is that behavioral therapy for children with autism or people with autism was written into law by Congress as an essential health benefit, but it's not part of HHS's regulations. So, like in the state of Georgia, there's two questions. Georgia doesn't have an exchange that I'm aware of or understand. It's like they offer... they offer some form of something, but it's not exactly comparable to what the Affordable Care Act would
provide. Let me just quickly ask a question, though. When we hear that certain states aren't participating in the Medicare expansion. Medicaid expansion. Every state will have an exchange.
Yeah, I want to let her finish her question, okay. And I will get to what you're asking.
I felt
so,
like
go
that
ahead.
Was a little passive aggressive. Go ahead, Danette.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, you framed it the right way. So basically, that question got answered for me. So Georgia has an exchange. They're just not expanding their Medicaid, and it's an exchange that they've created on their own.
Yep.
And okay, so one question would be, is it comparable to the Affordable Care Act as far as savings go?
So you have the protections
that they offer.
Okay, I don't want to interrupt you, but like we're going to get lost because you started with the autism benefits,
right,
and I don't want to lose that.
Okay,
go ahead, address that.
What I'm learning is that Georgia does not have autism benefits covered under their plan, and that's, I guess, what I'm asking is that with the two related, it seems to me as if they don't offer something that's comparable, but I'm also not finding anything.
All right, let me, Danette, thank you. Go ahead and address that. Thank you, Danette.
You have a couple of issues there which are tied up together which are important. The first is that for a long, long, long time, insurance has been a state-regulated thing, and so individual states made rules about what insurance had to cover. There are a fair number of states that have made autism benefits mandatory. In fact, have actually been generous with their autism benefits when many other things were being cut. And so many people in many states have enjoyed that benefit, knowing that insurance was going to cover these autism benefits. Then the Affordable Care Act came along and still tried to keep insurance to be a very state-based, state-regulated thing. They wanted all of the private plans and the exchanges to be regulated at the state level. If that had happened, then it's very likely that a state like Georgia would have said, hey, you know, one of the things we think is important that all insurance covers is autism benefits or autism behavioral benefits. And so they would have kept those in place. And in fact, you know, many of the states which are still regulating their markets, be it a California or a Massachusetts, they likely have all of those local benefits and requirements that they've always had. But a number of states decided to, you know, oppose the Affordable Care Act in many ways or for various reasons, kick this kind of regulation back to the federal government, which doesn't have, you know, lots of these little things like the autism benefits in place. So if your state sort of decided it didn't want to do its own exchange and let the federal government do it, a lot of these small things which had been added in the past are gone. And so the insurance plans in the exchanges run by the federal government don't necessarily have to have, say, the autism benefits. Now, that's not because the law prevents it from happening. Insurance companies are allowed to do it. It's because the state governments are not enforcing what they think is important locally and saying, we want to manage this and we want to make this happen at a local state level. Nothing prevents the private plans from putting in the autism benefits. But, you know, without sort of regulation, insurance companies aren't necessarily going to leap at providing expensive benefits. So it is very likely that, you know, states which had these extra things, which are letting the federal government run their exchanges, will not have many of the same things that they have. I want to stress again, it's not because the Affordable Care Act prevents it. It's not because the federal government said no. It's because, ironically enough, some states set the bar higher than the federal government, and those states decided to let it go. I'd encourage you to talk to your local state government, your local state representatives about, you know, actually taking back control of the exchange or for getting insurance companies to add this back in, but it's not going to happen at the federal level.
Good advice. And we are doing 3 hours today all about healthcare. We have a healthcare economist and health policy experts here in studio, Austin Fracht, Aaron Carroll. We'll look at Twitter for your questions too. AFracht on Twitter. If you're not following Austin, you're missing out. These guys both blog, of course, at The Incidental Economist, AFracht, AFRAKT, and, of course, at Aaron E. Carroll. A lot of questions about unions.
I have not gotten one new Twitter follower, by the way. Not one.
Since the beginning of the program?
Not one.
Since the beginning of today's program?
Correct.
Let me look.
At Aaron E. Carroll, ladies and gentlemen.
I lied. One.
I got zero, too.
You have zero new followers? Well, I have
Sossen-IAUE.
Guys, please don't make me look terrible. Please.
You must have no listeners. No.
JB, the phones are locked up. Don't be an asshole right here at the beginning. We have 3 hours to go. JB, you're on the air with the two health policy experts, one of which is kind, one of which is not. Go ahead, JB.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I hear some of the unions are upset because if you're an employee that has multi-employer plan and you lose your job, then you don't qualify for a subsidy. explain to me what that means and what you would do if you did lose.
Okay, let me, and then, and before you do, let me also play a cut from Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, who has the voice of a leading man, explaining how organized labor is turning against Obamacare. And we'll address this all at once. Again, the voice of a leading man, Senator Mitch
McConnell. Can't wait to hear it.
Interestingly enough, just yesterday, the country's largest union federation, the AFL-CIO, outlined serious flaws in Obamacare that could hurt its members, too. Apparently, they came very close to calling for outright repeal. This is the AFL-CIO, Mr. President, came this close to calling for outright repeal. News reports suggest that a lot of harsh words were said. I don't think I can even quote all of it out here on the floor.
Or any of it.
But one union leader implied that Obamacare could lead to the Federation losing three quarters of its membership in just the next few years.
Is he pro-union?
This is the AFL-CIO, the biggest supporter the president had, coming this close to calling for outright repeal. So we know big labor is leaning on the president. We know they want him to let them rewrite the same law they helped ram through.
Big labor, as opposed to small labor. Let's handle the caller's question and Mitch McConnell's
question. I'm almost gripped with the irony. Okay, God.
Because he sounds like he's defending big labor.
Well, that and because it's like, well, actually, they haven't called for appeal at all. And the reason that they're going to potentially, you know, they're worried about losing their members, and the reason they're upset is because the Affordable Care Act makes it so easy to get insurance that the unions are losing their power, because the unions used to be the way that laborers got good insurance.
Really?
This is the irony. Yes, is that the problem is that the unions are upset that the benefit is now so easy to get that they are losing what they used to be able to have. So let's back up and discuss why the unions are upset at Obamacare. Unions for a long time have been very good at negotiating with employers to provide their members good health insurance benefits. They also were able to get the federal government in the past to pass a law which qualified the plans that the unions arranged and offered to get the same kind of tax deduction that employer-sponsored health insurance got. So if you got your insurance from the union, you got that same tax deduction as if you got your insurance from a big job, which is great. It made insurance much cheaper. What the unions are upset about is now their people can also go to the exchanges and get subsidies. So now even regular people can go out and get basically big tax credits to help them buy insurance. And employers are even saying, hey, you know what? We can, you know, our people can go to those things and get insurance. So what the unions wanted Obamacare to do recently and what they asked was that not only would their people get the tax credits, they also wanted them to get the subsidies. So they would get double dipping. The unions would get the tax deduction when they bought the insurance and also get the tax credit.
And they're not.
And the government said
pissed.
No. The government said that's insanity. And I tend to actually agree with the government in this case. The unions are asking for too much. There's no reason for the unions to be able to double dip. But the unions are upset because Obamacare has made it so much easier to get good coverage that they are losing their power. Let's own that. So if that's really what Mitch McConnell's upset about, I guess that's okay. I just find it odd. I'd love to hear him actually go on record as saying that's what he's upset about. Otherwise, I think he's probably just using this for partisan political purposes.
No,
that can't.
I don't know what else it could be.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And of course, Twitter, on Twitter, AFRACT at Aaron E. Carroll as well, at AFRACT at Aaron E. Carroll. I just tweeted at Pete Dominic that you should all be following both of them. We have two health policy experts joining us for the entire 3 hours. We're taking your questions, and I really want to get to some haters. I really want to get to some critics, because not because it'll be obviously interesting radio, but because people are so ill-informed, misinformed about this, that we really can take those calls and hopefully help debunk a lot of what they're saying. Let's go to Dave in Ohio. Dave, you're on Stand Up. Go ahead, Dave.
I have a question for you. I have insurance, so it's not going to be an issue. But if
like 80% of Americans, right?
More. I'm sorry.
Like he said, it's not going to be an issue, Dave. Like most people,
yeah, correct. Vast majority,
majority of right. Americans are have insurance.
This law mostly is going to affect less than 10%.
Yeah, let's say I'm some 25, 28 year old guy or something like that. I don't have insurance, so I qualify under the Affordable Care Act to get it through there. All right. But I don't get it. I refuse to get it. So therefore, I would pay a fine, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
What happens if I refuse to pay the fine?
You are executed immediately.
No.
Brought to Saudi Arabia.
Probably what the IRS would try to do is just make your tax, you know, your tax refund $95 less.
Yeah, if you owe something.
If not, they'd probably send you a bill.
Yeah, if you owe something, they'll try to take it out of that.
They'll take it out of your tax refund.
Otherwise, take it, but I don't think they can do much more.
I don't think they can do
anything. But what if you don't? What if you don't owe something?
It's not considered tax evasion. It's actually different than standard tax evasion. I think they can't. They can't.
So if I don't owe anything, they can never get me.
Correct.
And I can just go on with no health care and
although you qualify for Medicaid in that case.
If I get paid cash at my job, then I'm good to go, right?
Well, but you still. Well, if you get paid cash at your job, it's likely at the end of the year you pay taxes, right?
No. If it's under the table.
Well, I don't. I'm just saying.
He's asking for a friend.
Hey, man, if you're not worried about tax evasion, you shouldn't be worried about the $95. So I would leave it at that.
I'm actually worried about if I ever get to a point where I don't have insurance, because I'm going to refuse to participate.
You're
going
to refuse to take insurance.
I don't believe that I should have to buy something in order to.
But you have it now.
In the United States.
I agree, but you have it now.
Yes, I do.
So you think it's a good thing? You just think it's a bad thing if you lose your job?
What's that again?
You think insurance is a good thing. You have insurance.
That's not. I'm not going to be forced by the
government. I got that. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking you if you think having insurance is a good thing for you right now.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Then why next, if you lost your job, would you suddenly think it's a bad thing?
Because it wouldn't be a bad thing to have insurance.
Well, then go get insurance.
This is my point.
I'm totally getting your point. I'm being a little facetious because you're basically saying for philosophical reasons that will have no impact on anybody else, you would forego something which is good for you that you have right now, specifically because they made it easier in the future.
I absolutely would. Yeah, I am.
Why?
Well, then why don't drop it now? Make a protest. Drop your insurance right now. Just go insurance evil.
See, I have a different take. I don't have a problem with him not taking
insurance.
I don't
either.
With not paying the penalty, and I'll tell you why. Because this gentleman and many others will eventually get sick. They will use the system and have paid nothing into it. And I don't think that's right. I think we should all be paying for the care we're going to be using.
A lot of people
do you think you should be forced to pay for something?
No, I'll be forced to pay later when you're sick. I will be forced to pay later.
The hospitals are forced to take you when you're falling down on the street with a heart attack.
We're forced to pay for you, Dave.
During a recent interim period when I did not have insurance and I needed to go to the doctor, I paid cash.
You were lucky to have it, but someday when you get really sick and you don't have enough cash to pay for it, we will be forced to pay for you.
It's more than that, though.
That's what you're doing anyhow.
Correct. So we're trying to make it fair and make people pay up front instead of people freeloading off the rest of us and making us pay when you get sick.
They're going to be freeloading anyhow because the whole reason behind Obamacare was to give people insurance who don't have insurance.
It's to help them get it. They will believe me. Have you not picked up a paper recently? Every article reads like how much it's going to cost people.
I never pick up a paper. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Every article is reading about insurance and how much it's going to cost people to get it. This is not a free benefit.
Where do you get Where do you get your news if not a paper?
I was being facetious.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Well, people, it's not. This is not a free benefit. This does not come from the magic trees. People will be paying for it. That's what the penalty is about. Is about making people pay. That's in the same breath. You're arguing that it's a free thing, and then saying you don't want to be forced to buy something. It's about buying it, and so you can choose not to pay for it. But then later, when you get sick, or if you get sick then, and you don't have the money to pay for it, the rest of us will be forced
injured.
To pay.
I have a question. Do you pay your Medicare taxes now? Do you pay into Medicare?
They take it directly out of my paycheck. I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. If you worked for yourself, you could make that choice. It would be tax evasion, but you could do that.
I don't work for myself. Yeah. I was throwing up scenarios.
Okay.
So, okay, but you pay. And look, there are taxes for lots of different things. You can think of it as a tax if it makes you feel better. That's how the Supreme Court decided to look at it.
I know. I heard.
But so, I mean, if you don't like taxes, then that I suppose that's your right. But it is part of living in the United States.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. We have plenty more calls, but we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a call, a question, you can tweet us at Pete Dominic, at AFRACT, Austin Fracht, and at Aaron E. Carroll. If you're a criminal and you'd like to find out how to avoid taxes, you can tweet at Moving Sideways.
Or AFRACT. He's good at that, too.
Or AFRACT. But Chris, for a long time, evaded every tax, right?
Yeah, even sales tax. Got to be tricky with that one. But,
yeah, that's not easy to do.
Yeah,
how do you do that?
I pre-scout and look for the dumbest cashiers possible.
We'll be right back with more of your calls. 866-994-6343. Tell your friends. 3 hours of healthcare questions, health policy, Obamacare, and let's find those critics, those haters, those Fox News lovers. Join us right now and tell us what you think, what you believe, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call. We'll be right back.
Stand up with Pete Dominic. You're listening to a radio bumper for a show. Now some music, then talking.
Welcome back to the conversation. I am Pete Dominic, and I am joined by two health care policy experts. Aaron Carroll joins us almost every week, and as many people know, we have been in a relationship now for 3 years. Although it's weird because last night I came back late, and I was like, hey, man, I can either stay at a friend's in the city or I can just stay at your hotel with you. And he's like, yeah, whatever.
That is not how it
went.
It
was like very like whatever.
That is not how it went.
And I said to my wife, my wife, because I didn't want to drive home and then come back in the city early. It was a lot. And I said to my wife, I was like, well, I could stay with Aaron, but like, you know, if he doesn't have two beds, it'd be weird. And even if he did have two beds, that'd be weird. Just to be weird, I think, to sleep in a hotel room with him. And but then he didn't, like, I kind of threw it out there hoping he'd be like, wow, just stay at my place. Just stay at my place. But he never did. So I drove home.
That thing where you string up a line and you hang a sheet over it and you're like, this is your half and my half.
Yeah,
and you end up
I would have done
blankets.
Whatever.
It says, and I will quote, what time do you get in tonight? I think I'll stay with friends in the city. At which point I said 6 p.m. And he said, I won't get back to the city till 10. So I'll just plan to see you guys in studio a few minutes before 6.
No, because
bring laptop or whatever and I'll get you on the wireless, which I said, awesome. We'll have dinner next week.
What time do you get in? I'll just stay with friends in the city. Should have been.
No,
should have been, or you can just stay here. Why don't you just stay here and we'll go have drinks.
For instance,
you and Austin will drink at the Holiday Inn.
I'm in an adult. I even said, now you're just full of lies because I said later.
Could Joanna just stay here with me and then it'll be fine?
Or text me. Text me tonight. We might get a drink later.
Even Melanie said, if you're going to be back late, stay with me.
No, you didn't. Well, Melanie may have said that, but I did not.
I definitely said that because I wanted to keep my job.
Oh, we'll see.
Wait, you said that he could stay at your place, Melanie?
No, she didn't.
The women's shelter?
The women's shelter.
Yes, weird. The women's shelter.
They have just some sort of bosom buddies thing for you to get in there.
I am used to adult relationships where people ask for the things that they want.
I am.
And you said, I'm staying with a friend. And I was like, I guess he's taken care of. And I moved on.
Justin in Atlanta, you're on Stand Up.
Hi,
Justin.
Terrible show.
Apologize.
I was calling... because I actually have, I'm the more political savvy person in my family, and I was calling because a lot of them have just been paying attention, have not been paying attention, and here comes October 1, and they're all unprepared, and so they're going to start blowing up my phone asking me what are the resources that I should have, where should I go, are there any websites that I can provide to them?
Healthcare.gov.
Did the Obama administration set up this call?
I put a post about this. I'm going to pull it up now.
Okay, so here's the thing that I always say. Like, if you have health insurance right now, or if you have Medicare or private insurance, or if you have Medicare, or if you have Medicaid, or if you have the VA, if you're in the 80-some percent of people who already have insurance, you need to do nothing. Don't do anything. If you
What if they could get more affordable, more robust coverage?
Well,
is that something people should be considering?
They can't.
They cannot?
Can't. No,
you
I mean, if you have good, if you, in other words, if you have, there's already regulated insurance. And so most people who you're talking about, like the Dunkin' Donuts or the people who have bare bones plans, they've already been notified that those plans won't exist.
What about me here at SiriusXM?
I bet you have good insurance. Otherwise, you would have been notified. Your insurance is going away next year. They would have scare-tacted you already. They would have said, like, you know you're going to lose your plan.
Because you're saying the companies that say your insurance is going away, you're going
to
lose your plan, they don't offer good policies generally?
They either do next year, in which case you're okay, or they've already told you you're going to be uninsured next year, in which case you're panicking, in which case, yes, listen to me.
All right.
All you got to do, www.healthcare.gov. Just go there. That's it. It will ask you a few simple questions. It'll send you where you need to go to your either local exchange or to the federally run exchange for your state. It will like start offering you options. It will help you sign up and they'll tell you if you qualify for Medicaid or not. There's really only one thing you need to know. It's www.healthcare.gov.
What, Austin?
Oh, my iPad kicked me off.
What do you, is this it? It's just that healthcare.gov. That's the website. I mean, that's where people.
That's a good place to start. I was just trying to get the post up that I would tweet it out that I wrote about. It's called, I don't remember.
Use my computer. Oh, it's right. Covered in spittle.
I've been working on we're working potentially on a video, which is going to explain this. If it works out, we'll have it uploaded on Sunday.
Follow me on Twitter. You guys are making a video?
Follow me on Twitter, and you will get the link on Sunday.
At Aaron E. Carroll.
And then you can send all your friends there, and it'll be so easy for you.
Justin, send your friends.
Thanks.
Thank you. Let's go to Thomas in Boston.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pete, thank you for having these guys on. I love the information that I gather. My question is for Austin. Since he's out of Boston University in Massachusetts.
Your phone is killing me.
What's that?
Your phone. It's terrible.
Hang on. Better?
no change, right?
All right. What has been the long-term economic impacts on the state of Massachusetts where we've had essentially an Obamacare-style system?
Yeah.
Has it impacted GDP? Has it increased unemployment? Has there been a reduction in health?
Great question from Thomas, because, you know, my dad asks me these questions all the time, and his big concern is for job loss for businesses. And I say, listen, I don't know the answer to that, but I do go often to Massachusetts. It's a very similar system. And
right.
So all those questions that he just asked Austin, you're a Massachusetts guy, you're a Boston guy. What are the answers?
So the tricky thing about this question is, right, a lot of things affect jobs, a lot of things affect the economy, a lot of things affect even healthcare beyond insurance expansion. So Massachusetts expanded insurance. It's in a way that's a lot like the Affordable Care Act. They did it in about 2007. And since then, there have been some studies, and really, you know, more people are insured, and there hasn't been any effect on jobs that people can tie to that policy. Of course, over that time, right, we had the economic downturn, the financial crisis, you know, everything. So obviously, there's been an increase in unemployment, but it's not due to that law, so far as people can tell. Now, one thing that is happening is healthcare prices are going up. They're going up everywhere, healthcare costs. That's true in Massachusetts. Massachusetts has very expensive insurance, very expensive healthcare and insurance. The vast majority of that is not due to the health reform law. It is just due to the increasing cost of care that's been going on for decades.
What do you say to all these listeners, all these Americans who are getting letters from their company, from their healthcare provider, that says because of the new regulations with the Affordable Care Act, they don't write Obamacare in these official letters from the insurance companies, we now have to do this and that, and to comply, your premiums will be going up.
Well, so the premiums will be going up, that's for sure. They're going up for a lot of reasons. There are a tiny bit of that is due to the law. The law does increase benefits, right? There's now no cost sharing on preventative care. There's no lifetime limits. There's, you know, no, the employers can't, impose restrictions and gaps in your coverage the way we talked about earlier. And so those cost something, and that is passed along through premiums, but it's a tiny percentage of the overall increase. What the law allows insurers to do is kind of hide behind the law and say, you know, we're increasing your premiums 10% because of the Affordable Care Act. No, maybe 1% of that is due to the Affordable Care Act. The rest is due to the cost of care and other things they do. You know, premiums were going up 10% last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago.
But you can't prove a negative to people.
I mean, I know.
That's what's difficult. You can't say it. It's never a winning argument, which I stole
from
Dr.
Carroll. This has been analyzed by actuaries. And, you know, they say, yeah, there's a grain of truth to it, right? A small fraction of the increase is due to the Affordable Care Act. There's no question about it. It does increase costs, but it's not the entire story. In fact, it's a small piece of it.
All right. Let me go back to the phones and go to the Incidental Economist, where Austin has a great post up answering a lot of these questions. How is Obamacare going to affect me? Really interesting post from last August. Actually, look for that one at theincidentaleconomist.com. Actually, I'll tweet that one out right now for everybody, because you guys are providing a great public service for free. No paywall at your blog.
No.
No, not yet.
No.
Is there some disagreement about whether or not there should be a paywall instituted
at
your healthcare blog?
Can you imagine? How dare you, sir?
Well, I'm not minimizing.
Dare you? Are you saying
it's the best blog in healthcare?
I bet,
but it's still a blog about. It's not like porn,
not yet.
It's so easy
why
to
not
find
put
for
porn
free?
Up?
That's what I've been asking.
Yes,
why not porn, Aaron?
Why no porn at the Instant
Oil Economist? I haven't been the one to stop it.
Have you had this conversation?
I've never said no.
Shannon in Texas. I mean, if you want web traffic. Shannon.
Yes, can you hear me?
You're on.
My question is, my wife, we have been trying for years and years and years to try to get coverage. She was born with a condition in her, on her stomach to where insurance will not cover her.
Uh-huh.
We had insurance with a company that I'm leased on with. Just for me and my kids, which was $300 and some a month, but it's more of a subsidy insurance. Well, we got the letter saying your insurance is going to go up to $758 a month. I can't afford that.
Yeah.
Well, with the Obamacare, everybody keeps telling me, well, you're not going to be able to do it because, like, Medicaid or Medicare, whatever we tried to get on, they won't even let her have the Medicaid or Medicare, whichever one it is. Because they say that I make too much money because I'm the main provider of the household.
Okay.
What is the Obamacare going to do for me, for somebody that actually wants insurance?
You're going to get it. You are exactly whom the law is written for. You will go, if you don't have it through your job, you will go to the exchange. You will get a plan. They will not charge you any more than someone who is healthy. You will be thrilled. So, I mean, wait next week, Tuesday, go to healthcare.gov, go to your local exchange or where the government's running it for your state. You'll be able to sign up for insurance. It's going to kick in on January 1st, and there's no way in my mind it could possibly not be cheaper than what you're being forced to do right now.
Now, is this affordable healthcare, is this going to be more of a subsidy insurance, or is it going to be more of a, like a...
It's full insurance. It's real. It's insurance everybody else is going to get.
They also have choices of the
benefit
level.
Yeah, and you could even, if you're willing to pay, you could get phenomenal platinum insurance.
Really? I mean, on the exchanges you can.
Sure.
Can Obamacare do anything about Shannon's cell phone connection?
It is so bad because of Shannon. I mean, that's the reason Shannon's cell phone reception is so bad. It's because of Obamacare.
And the delays.
Yeah.
They had a delay to...
He could be making popcorn. I don't know. And to be fair, when you said this is for people like Shannon, and I mean, Shannon, you should listen more to the president when he talks. Yesterday in Maryland, we have a clip. Listen to this. Oh, this for Shannon.
Yeah.
This for people like Shannon.
That is the worst.
Texas.
That is the worst Obama impression I think I've ever heard.
This for...
if you could only see how bad Barack his
Obama,
face gets.
Barack Obama.
Do you think that's what he looks like when he talks?
For Shannon.
It sounds like he's president of his frat.
A lot of people...
this is for Shannon.
Look.
I'm doing this for Shannon, guys.
That was an awesome interpretation
look,
of Pete.
Look, a lot of people need this. I made this for Shannon. In Texas.
He's also not Southern. There's no Southern accent with
none.
Obama.
No.
Well, guess what? Everybody's fired. Everyone is fired.
I work with you guys.
Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate
no, but honestly, look, I have a chronic condition. My brother has a chronic condition.
You have a chronic condition. Will you ever admit to
it? Sure. I have ulcerative colitis. My brother has Crohn's disease. So I just try because it's just generalizable. It's like you just shouldn't worry about it.
That's a poops or something?
Oh, Jesus, man. Look at you.
I don't know.
He's making a face that's even worse than the Obama face. Pete hates people
terrible.
With chronic conditions. Just so you know.
That's
he
true.
Hates them all.
That is true because I don't have any and I'm better than
anyway,
you.
Anyway. I've always known, I was always sort of like, I got to work for a big company, and my brother's like, I always got to work where he's going to get insurance because you knew you couldn't get it. But this is who the Affordable Care Act is for. You don't have to worry that you won't be able to get insurance.
But seriously,
you just go get it.
You just point out with your joke about me looking down on you a really interesting example of it not affecting someone like me. Like, I would never think about that part of the equation. I've always got to have a good job that provides me with that. I could never pursue a career in stand-up comedy if I had a chronic illness. That would be really irresponsible almost. I mean, for me to pursue my dreams and a career that wouldn't probably offer me benefits would not be a very responsible thing to do.
Yeah,
I think
that's why
people are post-law. They just don't like comedy.
They're anti-comedy.
They're anti-comedy.
Who would be anti-comedy? That'd be a hilarious person. Tony in Arizona, you're on stand-up.
Yeah, I have insurance through my work, and it was $160 a week, and I couldn't afford that, so I dropped it, and I'm a veteran, so I'm just using the VA now. Am I going to be able to keep using the VA, or am I going to have to go out and buy private insurance?
Do you have insurance in the VA right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you'll keep it. Nothing's going to change. You're going to keep it.
There you go. That was easy.
Did you tweet out that post? Because
no,
that's about
yet.
Veterans.
I'm not like you guys. I can't do a million things.
I do it,
I'm
but my now. iPad, my iPad got kicked off.
No, I'll do it. I'll do it.
You got if you have VA insurance, you're gonna have VA insurance. Don't worry, you're good.
Great, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Tony. Speaking of that, TRICARE is the question that Mark in Virginia has. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, my question is, you know, I'm active duty Navy. I mean, I don't have much longer but in the Navy, but if for all the people that are on TRICARE, for whatever reason, and I don't know why they would do it, but if they wanted to drop TRICARE, are they even allowed to go into the exchanges? And then on top of that, I guess I if I decide not to go with TRICARE for life or whatever they have after I retire, I could then go into one of the exchanges, but I don't see why.
We might not know the answer to that one. We might not know the answer to that.
You're right that if you have that coverage, you can keep it and it's fine. If you opt to drop it, can you go on exchange? Is a great question. I know if you're employed by any other employer and they offered you coverage and you refused it, you're not eligible for the exchange if it's a large employer. That may change over time. I don't know specifically about TRICARE, but the post that I hope Pete will tweet out.
I just tweeted it.
Good. It has resources that relate to veterans. I know TRICARE is different, but if you go through that, some of the links may hit to TRICARE or take you to TRICARE. You can also just Google. There's lots of great sites. You know, Google, you know, TRICARE health reform. I mean, I think you'll probably find it. But if you don't, you know, get back in touch. You can find us at our blog or tweet at us, and, you know, we'll find the answer.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest with you, you probably can't, because if you're wounded in combat, I mean, yeah, you're taken care of at that time, but when you get back to the States and you're in Walter Reed or whatever other hospitals there are, I don't even know if Walter Reed's still open, but if you have all those other hospitals and you're in those hospitals for a long time, I think TRICARE is what takes care of you when you're in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the exchanges would actually cover that kind of coverage, because, I mean, obviously you're recovering from possible catastrophic injury.
Yeah, no, it would be through the TRICARE system first, and there's just no reason to go to the exchange if that's how you're getting care.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just a question. I mean, I don't know how it works with federally mandated insurance stuff, people that are federal workers. So I throw it out there.
Thank you again, Mark, for your call and for being in the Navy. So I don't have to, because I'm afraid of being out in the ocean on a ship. Oh, I've only got a minute. No. James in New Jersey, I think your question might be bigger than a minute.
Yes, it's a question and a criticism, actually. But anyway, here's the question. I'll make it quick. It's about the tax credits. Let's say on a typical year...
You want to save it for the next hour? You want to save it?
All right.
I'll go right to you.
All right.
Okay, because I just won't make it, and I don't want to be a jerk.
Actually, he does want to be a jerk.
But... I do want to be a jerk. Yeah, right. You're right. I was being passive aggressive. We're joined by two healthcare experts, health policy experts, health insurance experts, health reform, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. They write the most popular blog in the entire internet on healthcare and lesbian porn, which I think is really something that you don't
have. That's all Austin.
It's the Incidental Economist. The Incidental Economist, everybody. And I just found out this about Austin, small business owner. We'll talk to him about that later on
my
as
wife,
well.
Actually,
oh, it's your wife?
Yeah.
All right. Send us pictures of your wife. And it's my daughter's 6th birthday, everybody. So, very excited about that. We'll be right back, and we'll spend
happy
an hour talking about that. All right, we'll be right back. Just a minute.